Good morning and welcome to the East Tennessee Report, a public affairs program of the Journal Broadcast Group. My name is Frank Murphy. This morning we present the second of two interviews with candidates for the U.S. Senate seat being vacated by Senator Bill Frist. Last week at this time we spoke with Democratic Congressman Harold Ford Jr., who represents the 9th District in Memphis. This morning we are delighted to have as our guest Republican challenger Bob Corker. Good morning, Mr. Corker.
Frank, I'm happy to be with you. Thank you.
And the former mayor of Chattanooga.
Yes, sir.
So let's talk about a little bit about your background. Now, you're a UT graduate.
I am.
UT Knoxville or
UT
Chattanooga?
UT Knoxville, that's okay. Right. Yes, sir. I grew up here in Tennessee and started working when I was probably like you, Frank, when I was 13 years old.
Oh, sure.
Went to public schools in Chattanooga, came here to UT and graduated in industrial management. I went to work for 4 years as a construction superintendent. I was a gal on the job site that actually built buildings. I saved $8,000, and when I was 25 years old, I went in business and started literally with a pickup truck, and my accounting department was a checkbook on the front seat, and I went around and did small jobs, built the business into one that operated in 18 states around the country.
Would that include the work you did at Crystal, work making the drive-through
windows?
I did a lot
of Crystal drive-in windows. I did a lot of different kind of things. Eventually, right. We built shopping centers around the country, but after going on a mission trip to Haiti when I was about 28, 30, something like that, I started working in our inner city in Chattanooga on the weekends, just helping people fix up their homes and do whatever was necessary. And there I saw that we had a lot of Chattanoogans that didn't have decent housing. So as a civic endeavor, as a volunteer, I led the creation of a nonprofit at that age that has helped over 10,000 families in Chattanooga have decent housing. As a result of that, I started getting involved and giving some public talks. I testified in some U.S. Senate hearings. I was on a governor's task force, became interested in the public arena, was able to serve in 1995 and 6 as our state's commissioner of finance. And there I was able to solve some of our state's pressing problems. We put in place one of the best welfare reforms.
Was that
packages.
Appointed by the governor, or how does that
I was
exactly
appointed
work?
By the governor.
Which governor?
A new
was
governor
that?
Coming in on the very front end of Don Sundquist's first term.
All right.
We had a lot of health care issues in the state. TennCare had just been put in place a year before by the former governor. And we were able to, anyway, put in place one of the best welfare reform packages in our country, where we took our rolls from 96,000 down to 57,000 almost overnight. But I was able to see how you could truly solve big problems in government. I later, as you know, came back to Chattanooga, got involved in business again, was asked to run for mayor, and I just love being mayor more than anything I've ever done in my life. You can make so much happen so quickly. We were able to cause $2.1 billion worth of investment to take place. We streamlined our city's government.
It was a pretty crowded field when you ran for mayor.
Oh, gosh. It seemed like every time I do anything, there's a crowded field. There was
we'll get into that in a minute.
11 people ran for mayor, and I knocked on 9,800 doors and was able to win and immediately went to work. And as I mentioned, brought tremendous investment into our city, streamlined our city's government, dramatically reduced violent crime. I mean, it was just really by focusing on the right things. And we had some problems. We had nine non-performing schools in our city that right. actually were run by the county. But I was able to work with others and put in place an incentive package for teachers. These were inner city schools where teachers would teach for 2 or 3 years and then transfer out to the, quote, easier to teach schools. And it was just a formula for...
So they'd get their tenure?
Well, they'd get tenure, that's right, and move out. And many of the children who were coming into these schools were behind in the first place. And so we wanted to make sure we had high-performing teachers there. And so we put in place a bonus package. It was amazing what happened in those schools. Really, almost overnight, these nine schools outpaced, as far as student gains, the other schools in our 83-school system. So,
have you been able to follow some of those students through? I mean, to higher education?
These were elementary schools that we started with.
I guess what I'm asking is, can we make sure, is there a way to make sure it wasn't just a temporary gain because of that one good teacher?
It's interesting you'd say that. We actually began to focus on the middle schools after that, and actually there are a lot of efforts underway in our city through the private and public sector to really ensure that what you just said happens. I was able to also work with others and revitalize our city. We did $120 million waterfront development. But I think what I bring to this race is, you know, people in our country what they want, first of all, is someone who thinks like they think, if you will, in the United States.
Well, your job is to represent your constituents.
That's right. So. That's right. And, you know, while I feel like I've been able in some small way, maybe hopefully, maybe even in a bigger way, to help shape our city in Chattanooga, and to a smaller extent as Commissioner of Finance to help shape our state in some way, what's happened to me in the process is I've been shaped by those experiences. You know, my best friends in life actually come from this Knoxville community, and I've been shaped by a lifetime of experiences, and I really do believe that I take to the United States Senate the shared values that Tennesseans want to have someone represent in Washington. The second piece of that, though, is I think that Tennesseans want somebody in Washington that knows how to solve problems. I think people are concerned about the future. They look at these pressing issues of energy, and they want to make sure we're energy independent. They want to make sure that we do everything we can to ensure that health care is affordable and accessible, that this is a place of innovation, that we're safe and secure. And they want somebody who knows how to solve problems. I think the second ingredient, Frank, that I bring to this is I've led a lifetime of solving complex problems, and I really understand what it takes to have a vision, to create a bold vision, and to put people in place to work with others to make those things happen. And I think people are tired of seeing the bickering and the fighting and the partisanship. They just want someone there who knows how to solve problems.
All right. How important is it, Bob Corker, we're talking with here on the East Tennessee Report, to be able to, you know, reach across the aisle and work with people of the other party? I mean, do you see yourself as, you know, a strictly, you know, I'm Republican all the way, or is it more about just doing whatever it takes to get the job done?
You have to be able to work with others. You know, when I was Commissioner of Finance for the state, we had 35 Republicans in a 99-House body. We had a minority in the Senate.
It's quite a minority.
That's quite a minority. Yeah. And yet we were able to accomplish everything we wanted to accomplish during that period of time. And you do that by working with people. And what you do is you lay out a vision of where things need to go and and how that's going to benefit the people of the state, or in the Senate case, for people of the country. But then you bring together people of all walks of life to make that happen, and that has been sorely lacking, I believe, in the United States Senate.
Would you say that Americans maybe are a little frustrated by that? What they see as a stalemate between the two sides.
I think that what people see is a lot of bickering and partisanship when we have complex issues in our country that need to be solved. And at the end of the day, what our citizens want is those issues dealt with. And I think there's concern. I feel it as I move across the state, there's concerns. Even though our economy has grown dramatically, lots of jobs have been created, I think people still see what's happening around the world, and they feel like there's just concern about the future.
Well, if you had to label yourself, would you say liberal, conservative, or moderate? If those are the only three choices I give you.
You know, I really have tried to stay away from those labels. Here's what I would say is I really believe that I represent those common sense values that have made Tennessee great, and I really look. I've been steeped in those. I know my opponent has spent most of his life in Washington, moved there when he was 9 years old, and I think there's a tremendous difference in life experiences and just those things that have shaped us as individuals. Mm-hmm. And again, I think I represent those common sense values that have made our state great.
Well, you were mayor of Chattanooga, and your focus obviously is very local there. What's the difference you see as in representing Tennessee statewide? I mean, because we're three distinct regions of this state is so unlike so many others. You know, this other state you can go to, it's all kind of the same. We've got really three very distinct regions with three very distinct needs.
Right.
How do you unify that, and how do you represent all three parts of the state?
Well, I think one of the things you learn as mayor is you learn how to bring out the best in an area. Mm-hmm. You really take the assets that you have and you try to bring them together in a way that brings out the best. And so I've had that overview. I was Commissioner of Finance, where I worked with all three of those regions. I worked with everybody in the state of Tennessee. I've actually lived in Chattanooga. I've lived in Knoxville lived in Nashville as Commissioner of Finance. So I've had experiences in that way. But I think what you do, and I've been able to, running for the Senate is a PhD in life. I mean, you're in every part of the state, and you meet people of all walks of life. And I've been in tomato processing facilities, dairy dairy farms, cotton farms, soybean farms. I've been at biotech facilities in Memphis, spent an inordinate amount of time at Oak Ridge National Lab. You know, the city of Chattanooga actually connected directly to those to the National Lab computers so that we could actually do complex computations in Chattanooga. So I've had a lot of experiences around the state working with various groups. And what you want to do is just make sure, you know, that the Knox County area, the Anderson County, Blount County, it's a unique area. Mm-hmm. And you just realize that as United States Senator, and you work with the citizens of those areas to do everything you can to bring out the best that it has to offer.
Obviously, because we love our national park that's right here, the environment is an important issue to us, and clean air is an important issue to us here in East Tennessee.
Right.
How does that fit into your plans for the Senate?
Look, clean air is... as you know, Chattanooga is one of the dirtiest cities in America, and we've been able to work together to create an economically viable but also environmentally friendly place. I mean, I'm really proud of what we've done there. I know that these parks are, you know, living here as a student and biking and doing the things you do up in the mountains, which I did at that age, hiking. I've, hiked Mount LeConte actually with Senator Frist. I know how important these parks are. We absolutely need to make sure that the air stays clean. I know it's affected
it's
some
idea,
of the
vegetation. If you're going to go hiking, bring a doctor with you. It's not a bad
there,
plan.
You know? Well, yeah, actually.
I mean, you look like you're in great health.
Yeah, thank you.
I'm thinking more of myself.
we had a great 2-day trip and enjoyed being there. But I know that these parks are not just a treasure to East Tennessee. They're a treasure to our country. And I know that some of the emissions that have been created from these coal-fired plants have really created some issues there that we need to deal with.
Well, what about energy for the future? I mean, you know, we've had a year ago, gasoline was $3 a gallon. Of course, the cynic in me says that, you know, gas has dropped down to $2 a gallon because there's an election around the corner.
Right.
Am I being unreasonable in that regard, or is that just, you know?
No, you know, What worries, first of all, I'm thrilled for Tennesseans that the prices at the pump are where they are.
Than most parts of the country.
Absolutely. And as I move through the state, I've seen the tremendous impact that it has on people of all walks of life. I mean, it really is like an additional tax when gasoline prices go up. And so I'm glad that they are down where they are today. And obviously, it's a function of supply and demand. They haven't, you know, the hurricane season this year wasn't tough. And so we didn't have any refinery shut down there. And right now, the OPEC is creating enough supply where actually prices are down. What concerns me about that, the flip side, is that I don't want us to lose the focus on making sure that we become energy independent. You know, a lot of times politicians will focus on the issue of the day and what, you know, citizens are complaining
about. The short-term
about.
Solution yeah, rather than the long-term. Well, let's expand on that, then, the long-term solution.
Right. Well, there are a lot of things that need to happen. There's no question. We need to obviously focus heavily on biofuels. Our farmers here in the state of Tennessee are the 10th in the country in their ability to produce those. But something that needs to go hand in hand with that is really doing a lot of research on enzymes to make that even more efficient. I know we refer a lot to Brazil and look at what's happened there. Mm-hmm. They're far more efficient in taking their sugarcane products and turning that to ethanol than we are here in our country, and it's because of the type of crops that we have. And so
sugar might be more efficient than corn, for example?
Absolutely.
Okay.
And so we've got to figure out a way to create enzymes to make all of these processes far more efficient for it to have the kind of impact on our country that we'd like. Clean coal gasification, that's something that's a technology that creates a substitute for natural gas using the hundreds of years of reserves that we have not far from Tennessee, but doing it in a way that's environmentally friendly. Eastman Chemical has done a lot of work in that area. There's a tremendous opportunity for us there. We need increased nuclear, certainly solar. When I was mayor, I actually went out on the West Coast 3.5 years ago, long before, by the way, people thought we had an energy crisis. Right. I knew it was going to be a problem for our country, and I wanted to make sure that our citizens were a part of helping solve that problem. So I found somebody out on the West Coast building a distributed model hydrogen fuel cell and brought that to Chattanooga. We're actually powering producing power into our power grid from this fuel cell. As it becomes commercially
is it producing
viable,
electrical power
right now,
okay.
Yes, sir. And obviously, we're going to be powering, hopefully, in the next 18 months, a large engineering building in Chattanooga. But the point is that if it's commercially viable, we want to make those in Chattanooga. Mm-hmm. And that's what the arrangement was. And again, so many people in Washington wait until there's a crisis and stand in front of it and act like they, you know, obviously are concerned about it, but yet don't think ahead and try to become part of solving a long-term problem instead of just whatever the issue of the day is, acting as if they're concerned.
We're talking with Bob Corker. He is running for the U.S. Senate against Harold Ford Jr., and we're delighted to have you as our guest here on the East Tennessee Report. Some of the other major issues that I feel are worth bringing up were mentioned in some of your campaign commercials. We've talked about immigration, or you've talked in your commercials about immigration and done a memorable campaign commercial where you're standing at the U.S. border.
Yes, sir.
Let's summarize just in a nutshell for anyone who may not know your policy on immigration.
Well, first, it was remarkable standing down at mile 6 on the Mexico-Arizona border and seeing a pathway out into the Mexico desert as far as you could see that was just a beaten pathway where people were coming illegally into our country. By the way, from lots of different nationalities. I spent some time in Tombstone the night before talking to former city council members, ranchers, and others. And a lot of people think that it's only people that are coming from just south of the border. A lot of people coming from lots of different nationalities.
Having lived in California for 10 years, I can tell you it's not just people from Mexico. We had friends from every country going down the Central American peninsula.
Also people from other parts of the world who just happen to know that that is a way, an easy way to come into America. So obviously we need to secure our borders. I think that last year the estimate was 407,000 people who came into our country illegally. So we need to secure our borders. We do need to allow people to work here, but only if they're legal. And our temporary worker programs obviously need to be refined. There's tremendous amounts of bureaucracy around those programs. Obviously, there's some quota levels that need to be adjusted to actually meet demands that exist here. But we need to have people be legal if they're working in our country. And we need to know when they're returning home and those kinds of things.
Well, this was more an issue for me than maybe for someone in Knoxville. But you know, when I hired someone to mow our lawn or to clean our pool in California, I had no idea if they were in this country legally. Legally or not, is that how much responsibility do I have in that regard?
Well, as an individual, that's tough when you're just.
I hired a company, and then you know they came and did this the work.
I think we need to have an instant and reliable way of verifying whether people are legal or not. You know, there's so much documentation fraud that takes place in our country today, and so I think there needs to be a quickly verifiable way to know if people are legal or not. And then if people abuse that process, I really do think they should be punished.
Well, and the president, if I understand correctly, says that, you know, people can come to this country to work, but need to do it by going through the same process that my ancestors did. And I assume yours did at some point when they came here from wherever. Mine came from Ireland. And, you know, would that be a fair summation?
Yeah, I do think, you know, there's the issue of what you do with the people who are here illegally now, and that's where there's probably lots of discrepancies.
Right.
There's a senator, Senator Cornyn, has put together provisions in a bill that I think actually are very, very good, and I do believe that people who are here illegally should return home and return only
and then
through
fill out
legal
the paperwork.
Channels
okay.
back. That's right.
All right. That kind of dovetails into a Homeland Security question. As I mentioned, your most memorable commercial to me was the one we were at the border, the U.S. border. Your opponent's most memorable commercial to me is the one where he's standing at, I think it's in Baltimore, at the port, at the harbor, talking about how the shipping containers need to be searched more securely or more completely to prevent Homeland Security breaches there. How do you justify that and the Homeland Security in connection with the immigration you touched on a minute ago?
I think, you know, our ports, I think all cargo shipments, we have obviously an issue there. I can remember as mayor, I would deal with Homeland Security officials about some of the risks that we have here in our country and actually in our city at the time. And I thought, you got to be kidding me. That's not near the risk, if you will, of some of these cargo containers that are moving through our city that no one's ever checked. That's a much bigger risk than some fixed asset that's on the ground that we actually see every day. So we have actually technology that's been developed right here at Oak Ridge, not far from where we're sitting in this studio, that would allow cargo containers to actually be checked without ever having to open them up. And so those types of technologies that are being developed right here in East Tennessee, I think, should be utilized at our ports to make sure that we don't have a dirty bomb coming into our country or some other mechanism to disrupt our lives.
Earlier, we talked with Bob Corker, who's running for the Senate, about the crowded field in your race for Chattanooga mayor, and we kind of alluded to the crowded field for in the Republican primary.
Yes, sir.
That got you this nomination. One of the issues that came out of that was abortion, which is still a hot button issue here in Tennessee. I mean, your opponent has spoken that he's had to change his view on abortion somewhat. He used to be, if I understand correctly, was in favor of a ban. No, excuse me, opposed to a ban on partial birth abortions, and now he favors a ban on partial birth abortions. Talk about your views on it, and kind of in light of the Republican primary, and why that was an issue.
Well, I've been endorsed by National Right to Life. I am pro-life, and it was just one of those issues that comes up in a campaign. I'm pro-life, and I'm very different from my opponent in that regard. My opponent is not pro-life. He's pro-choice, and that's one of those things that separates us.
Okay, so it's just that one aspect that he's identifying, the so-called partial birth abortion is what?
Well, no, he's, again, my opponent and I share very different views.
Okay, and that's important that we bring that out.
Yes, obviously he has evolved on the partial birth abortion as he began running for the Senate. But we're very, very different in our view. I would like to for us as a country to continue to work to create a culture of life, to do those things we can to limit the number of abortions that take place in our country, and my opponent does not.
I read a book recently called Freakonomics, and it had a sort of a troubling theory in it, and I wanted to get your take on it, because it also ties in with the drop in crime rate in Chattanooga. And the guys, the economists in this book, postulate that a drop in crime, and they cited New York rather than Chattanooga, but they were talking about in New York, came X number of years after an increase in abortion rates. Their theory being that the criminals were no longer around, or not around. They were being aborted by mothers who didn't want them, let's say 15 to 20 years ago, and that results in a drop in crime. Have you heard this theory before, or do you think it's just something to sell books?
Somebody mentioned along the way that this has been, was written about by these authors.
Yeah. I've read the book, and I found it shocking to think about, because I'm trying to justify it with my own views.
I think that every life is valued and valuable, and I think that once we as a culture start looking at engineering our society by, some life being allowed and some other life not being allowed, I think that we've gone way, way, way down a slope of into a culture that's very destructive for Americans.
One issue that a lot of us deal with as voters are the negative campaign ads that we see. We'll see the positive ads, and I've tried to bring those up first the ones that are about yourself with the border and your opponent. But for some reason, the ones that we stick in our minds are the negative ones. I can think more of the negative ads against your opponent and the more of the negative ads against you. Why do negative ads work? Why do they, obviously they must work or they wouldn't be on television. And I know that also, maybe you could explain to our audience how you are not responsible for all of those ads. Some of those are coming from different committees and national groups, right?
Now, we were very surprised, I think, when the primary was over and you were getting ready to start this general election. The Democrat National Committee bought $2 million worth of advertising here in East Tennessee to distort, to run us into the ground, and really thought that was most unusual on the front end of a campaign like this. The problem is that if you don't clarify, if you don't respond, if you don't contrast, it does affect voters' opinions. And what we've tried to do is just absolutely make sure that the things that we say and respond in response are factual, that everything is factual. It's about a voting record. It's not about something personal in nature, but about some type of voting record or act as a public official.
Mm-hmm. We've only got about 5 minutes left with Bob Corker, who's running for the U.S. Senate, representing the entire state of Tennessee, to replace Bill Frist. Do you see yourself in that same mold as Bill Frist? I mean, are you trying to continue the work that he started, or do you have some other specific agenda items in your head that you really want to get done?
Well, I see myself as someone who can continue the great line of Tennessee leadership that we've had with people like Howard Baker and Bill Brock and Fred Thompson.
You've got a new commercial running with Fred Thompson on it, too, don't you?
That's started running, and obviously he's a good friend of mine and someone I talked to prior to deciding to run for this Senate seat. But Lamar Alexander and Bill Frist, I mean, I think they all have brought different things to the table, but they've been the kind of respected Senate leadership that our state has valued. I hope to obviously follow in that line of respect and dignity and statesmanship. But I think each of us brings something different to the table. And as we were talking on the front end of this interview, one of the things that I've been able to do in life is solve problems, you know, and I really, that's why I get up in the morning, is to really figure out a way to, if a problem to me is an opportunity to make the world better, to make a city better, to make a state better. And so I think what I will take to the United States Senate is a background steeped in life experiences here, meeting a payroll, building a business, solving civic problems, and take that to the United States Senate, the ability, again, to bring people together to solve these complex issues that our country faces.
Are we talking
to
about
make
like
our country stronger?
Financial issues like deficits? Or are we talking
financial issues, but definitely. I mean, the point of view that I have as it relates to that and my opponent could not be more different. I think we need to live within our means, keep taxes low. I really believe that the low taxes that we have in place have stimulated this economy. My opponent differs. But I think the issues of energy, for instance, you know, we need to have a really focused, long-term view of solving that. Healthcare, affordability, and accessibility, big issue across our state. As I sit in people's living rooms, as I talk to businesses who try to compete on a global basis,
well, you've
and
got
trying to do the right thing.
Yeah, you've got maybe unemployment low. You've got a lot of people who are working for, you know, hourly wage and are not getting health care, health insurance through their jobs.
Right. I mean, you know, we obviously talk a lot recently about minimum wage. We as a country need to be focused on creating high-paying jobs,
right.
Those kind of jobs that really raise people's standard of living. And that's something I've done. That's something I've been involved in, and I want to carry that ability to the United States Senate.
That would tie back into another issue of great importance to East Tennessee, education and higher education.
Right. Absolutely. Look, you know, we as a country, our number one resource, is the people. The people of our state, the people of our country. That is the resource that we need to build up. And obviously, as we compete with countries around the world that are placing a heavy emphasis on math and sciences, on engineering, we as a country need to understand what those challenges are and to make sure that our citizens, that our youth have the opportunity, not only understand those challenges, but are prepared to meet them. And obviously, higher education is a big part of it, as is K-12.
How important is it to cast your vote with an eye on the overall makeup of the Senate? I mean, each one of these races that's up for, like you're going for an open seat as opposed
right.
to a re-election. You know, so this is one of the seats that is being watched nationwide as, oh, who's it going to go to, a Republican or a Democrat, because they're trying
right.
to keep the counts and keep you know, who's going to control the Senate. How important part do you play in that overall big picture? I mean, do you support the party as a whole and the president, or is that a vote for you the same?
Obviously the president's only going to be there for two more years.
Okay.
It's a six-year term, so obviously whoever wins this seat is going to be serving only one-third of it under the sitting president. Obviously, the first vote that you cast is for who's going to be the majority leader of the United States Senate, and if my
meaning
opponent,
the first vote you would cast as
the first
a,
vote is
the senator's
is,
cast.
Is,
yeah, okay.
That's exactly right.
Okay.
He's going to lead the Senate, and obviously, you know, my opponent would vote to put Harry Reid, who's a senator now in charge on the Democratic side, in place. And my understanding is even Hillary Clinton may be running for majority leader. So, I mean, that would be the type of person that my opponent would be voting for. Obviously, that's not who I would be voting for. So that's
right.
important. But I think that what, again, Tennesseans want is somebody who shares their values. and somebody who has a demonstrated ability to solve problems. So I think they put all that into the equation, and hopefully when they do and they look at the two of us, hopefully your listening audience overwhelmingly will support me in this race.
Bob Corker, former mayor of Chattanooga, running for United States Senate. And obviously this Senate race has taken a huge precedence in the minds of our listeners and people all throughout Tennessee. We appreciate your taking the time to spend half an hour with us today.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
This has been the second of two interviews with candidates for the United States Senate. Last week at this time, we spoke with Democrat Harold Ford Jr. and, of course, this morning with Republican Bob Corker. On the East Tennessee Report, a public affairs program of the Journal Broadcast Group, my name is Frank Murphy. We'll talk to you again next Sunday.